This is the Peer Review Podcast with your host, as always, Daniel Frana.
Andrew Thomas.
James Hotley Prime.
So thank you for listening to this. That's not a very good introduction, but I'm going to stick with it. It's the way it is. So how you guys been doing? Huh? Have good weekends?
Yeah, I suppose you could call it that.
Well, I think that Saturday and Sunday is called weekends.
Traditionally.
Traditionally. Well,
according to your calendar.
Do they have a different British calendar?
No, I just have my own.
You have your own calendar?
Yes.
What is it? 16 months? Is it a lunar calendar? Or?
No, it's not really any calendar, actually. I just don't keep track of time, except Mondays. Mondays are the only day that really exists.
Mondays and Thursdays.
Yes. And Sundays now.
One apparently. Sunday a month counts. Yep. Except for the Sundays that we do this podcast, though. Oh, shit. We're letting the listeners know when we record. We can't let that happen. Oh, well, we're gonna.
Do you have your questions?
I do. I was just about to get to the peer review pop quiz. All right, as always. Why I keep saying as always? It's happened like six times.
Yeah, but I don't know. I've been anticipating this one.
Yeah,
you said as always the second time. You might have said it the first. Like,
I don't know. It,
just I did your way to make sure we can't veto it stopping.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. It's a tradition.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna keep it that way. So the peer review pop quiz. Who would be the worst spouse, given your options?
Me.
Hold on. It's A is a mafia boss, B is a televangelist, C is Sasquatch, and D is a peer-reviewed podcast host. So those are your options.
A specific host? Because I kind of agree with James.
It's whichever host you want it to
Thank
be.
You.
Whichever one you want it to be.
Hmm.
So what do you think? Huh?
Well, I'm actually going to have to go with televangelist.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Go with televangelist?
I think I would have to, too. Those guys are obnoxious, and I just have to assume they're always on, you know?
You guys are right. It is televangelist. Because, you know, they make good money, I'm sure, but I bet that they're into some really weird sexual stuff,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Have to be.
I think Mafia Boss wouldn't be that bad, you know? You get a lot of good food, you know?
Absolutely.
As long as you're willing to always be looking the other way.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah. Which,
as Americans, we are practiced at.
And then Sasquatch would be awesome because then you could, like, live out in the woods. I'm sure Sasquatch is pretty good at hunting and fishing and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, if it's a good marriage, maybe he'd be willing to come out in the open and make you guys rich.
Exactly. There's always a... With all these options, there's, you know, some sort of level of income that you're getting, except for the peer-reviewed podcast hosts.
Right.
Although, really, if you did pick that one and you picked James, it would be just like living with Sasquatch, but you're going to stay poor the rest of your life.
It's very true. But,
yeah.
I mean, at least, you know, there's the benefit of...
Yeah, there is no benefits.
Yeah, okay.
I bring that up because I...
Of not being obnoxious.
Not being obnoxious.
Like a televangelist.
No.
Well...
A different way. I bring that up because I actually went to my brother's wedding this weekend. Last night, my brother got married, so congratulations to Andrew and Molly Frana. They just had their wedding last night, and I was the best man at it.
GLHF to them.
Oh, yeah.
By that, you mean you were the best man in the ceremony, or just the best man there?
I'm always the best man wherever I go. But
you're full of delusions, aren't you?
Well, whatever. But... And I gave the best man speech, and people came up to me afterwards, and they were mad. They're like, why didn't you do any stand-up routine during your speech? Like, what, you want me to just bust out and be like, yeah, so I was walking down the street the other day and saw this weird guy. That's not really, you know, best man speech material. You can't really then segue into like... But you know, Andrew and Molly, I have a good life. You know, it's just weird.
Dude, I was the best man once specifically because I was the only one of the candidates willing to write and give a speech. And I totally put, like, World of Warcraft references into my best man speech without anybody noticing. You could have slipped some stand-up in there.
I did reference, like, one time we got into an apple fight. We were just throwing apples at each other, and then we had to call it off when he hit me in the eye. Gave me a big black eye. So, I don't know, I did that, but then, like...
Apple fight.
That's
what you do in small towns?
Yeah, well, we have an apple tree. Got lots of apples. But then, like, afterwards, after the speech, like, we were all sitting outside talking. I was drinking champagne and smoking a cigar. Like, I felt
Goodness. So
cool. You know, it was like... I don't know if I can go back to, you know, smoking Pall Malls and drinking PBR after that. But then, like, they were all, like, my family's all sitting there, like, yeah, we'll pitch in some money if you do some stand up out here right now. So they had like $60 they were ready to give me for a 5-minute set. But I turned it down because it'd just be so weird telling jokes in front of my grandma.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. I don't know.
It's kind of like.
No,
that,
that's just. I'm astounded.
Yeah, as you stare at your computer.
When you throw the apples at each other, do you like have to try and catch them with your mouth?
No, you try to dodge them. You know, we're just like hide behind trees, throwing them at each other.
Do you then take it and make cider?
No. We don't use the apples that much because they're not that good.
Oh, okay.
It's a
sickly
little tree.
That's why you make them into cider.
Yeah. It's like if Charlie Brown was Johnny Appleseed, that's what these trees are like. Just all hunched over and... I don't know. But you were going to say something before, Andrew, or...?
Oh, that, like, impromptu stand-up kind of reminded me of one time we went to a show. One single audience member showed up, and then, like, three comedians... And so he just called off the show. The audience member was like, I want a show! And so he brought out $20. He's like, just do some stand-up right here. So we all stood in a circle, went around telling, like, one bit each. It was the closest I've ever been to like, a freestyle rap circle in stand-up comedy.
But I thought you used to be a rapper, though.
I did. Forget.
So you never did freestyle rap as a rapper? Or?
That's why I said the closest I've gotten to a freestyle rap circle in stand-up comedy.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that is as close as you can get, unless you have, like... just funny battle raps that we do on stage, which actually that'd be a lot of fun.
That would be cool.
Yeah,
like have a roast where we just do battle raps. That'd be cool. I could do that. I think I'd be good at battle rapping.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Do you want to try? Why don't you do battle rap right now?
I'll do a battle rap right now. I think I told you this one before, but it's like when you spit words, you sound like you're gurgling turds. Clench your throat with some kale and step up and take your turn. That's a pretty good one.
I think you need to try not giggling in the middle, though.
It's fun, though. What, I'm not supposed to enjoy myself? You're gonna be like, when you spit words, you sound like you're gurgling turds.
Yeah, that is serious business there.
I know.
You need to take gargling turds seriously if you want to be a rapper.
When I say gargling turds, I envision it in my mouth where it's just going...
You envision it in your mouth?
Yeah, it's disgusting, but it's so funny.
Right.
It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Your turn, Andrew. Let's hear...
I can't top that. You win.
Well, okay. The first peer review podcast battle rap. I hold the title. Yes.
I wouldn't be too proud of that.
Yeah. Well, you didn't even try. You didn't even step up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
come on.
Man.
You want to do it? You want to challenge me?
I say, you're so rude. I'm going to ruin your day.
That was
yes,
that was very English of you.
We call that the Lord's rap.
The Lord's rap. Oh,
man.
Yeah. That wasn't good.
No.
Mm-hmm. No.
It didn't bring to mind the disgusting images of turds and nails.
So speaking of very sad English people...
Yes, I'm right here, we know.
I watched... I don't know if it was the whole documentary was a minute and 30 seconds long or if it was a snippet from it.
That would be a really sad English man that is like, my life is so boring, I can only film 2 minutes of it.
But they prophesized... Or predicted, I guess.
I would say prophesized. That's like the guy comes out with like robes, like, hear ye.
That by the year 2050, most men will be having sex with robots.
Most men.
James, as came from England, as an Englishman, what do you think of that?
Brilliant! James will finally have a girlfriend! I won't actually have to put any effort into, you know, being late.
As if you do, right?
And it's interacting with another human being. Just go reprogram the robots.
There you go.
That is the whole point they made in the 1 minute and 40 seconds is...
Apparently we're just a nation of terrible pickup artists.
Well, based on the small sample size we have in this room, I would agree. Yeah.
But that... I mean, it's funny to me, but it doesn't lend itself to any jokes that haven't been told 1,000 times.
Yeah, you know.
Like, yeah, I could say, yeah, wouldn't it be great if my girlfriend had an off switch?
Yeah.
And I could just hear somebody from the future listening to this podcast yelling, hack!
Yeah, like, they've been doing that in Japan for years already.
Well, just been like, they do. See?
Yeah, they do have it. So that lends the question then, if you have sex with a robot when it's off, is that rape or I don't know.
Necrophilia maybe?
Necrophilia, yeah. I think so. That's weird.
And eventually, everyone, all the guys will just be having sex with robots. The human race will start to die out. They'll start building male robots, and then the whole population will just be replaced with robots.
Yeah, it's like that one Futurama episode. You see that one? Yeah,
possibly.
Where they could have a robot and you could download a celebrity's personality.
Oh, yeah.
So Fry was dating Lucy Liu.
Knew you should have showed him electrogonorrhea, the noisy killer.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's good, though, you know, because I feel bad for all the people who want to have sex with robots right now, but they can't, so they're just, like, strapping a fleshlight onto a Roomba.
And there are a lot of them, apparently. There was one guy in the documentary who was trying to psychologically turn his living girlfriend into a robot.
What?
Still psychologically or physiologically?
As far as I could tell, just psychologically, like, he would say out loud, "Robot mode activated," and she said something creepy like, "Obedience is pleasure. Pleasure is obedience."
Wow, that's like some.
I don't know if that was actually like anything scientific or just something you'd find on the dark web. You know, like one of those fetishes you shouldn't be talking about.
There's a lot of. I think most fetishes you shouldn't talk about, at least not in a polite conversation or over a podcast.
Right.
But it's just...
Especially a podcast.
Yeah, when you're recording
a podcast,
you just sit there setting things on fire.
Yeah, that's what I do. We got the peer review podcast candle going right now. What are you doing, James?
I'm just messing with your shit.
Don't do that. I don't like it when you mess with my shit. Too much anal play. Don't poke. This is great audio right now.
Yeah,
it's you poking a candle as we silently judge you.
He was trying to.
We should probably judge him louder.
Yeah.
You
bad
suck,
person.
James.
I accept that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Nothing.
But
you
he was
heard
trying.
Before.
He was trying to like reprogram her mind to be a robot.
Yeah, and it didn't even say what the fuck was wrong with her to accept this.
I've got to look up the definition of robot here because I don't.
I think, and I know for a fact that robot comes from a Czech word, meaning metal man.
What was his plan if he succeeded? To then actually start making her a robot physically,
like,
too?
Yeah, the replacer after sex robots became advanced enough to be realistic? I don't know.
Oh, that's not a
robot.
Slap in the face then. He screws her over and it's like, well, I got the real thing now, honey. I don't need you anymore. Oh, boy.
Why would he want to do that, though?
It's
like
is
his computer just not
fetish?
Good enough?
I guess. That's just
because his Roomba broke.
His Roomba broke. Yeah, his fleshlight was full. That is gross.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, it comes from the Czech Robotnik.
Robotnik,
which I always just thought was a Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I was gonna say the Eggman.
Wait, from Czech Robotnik, which means slave.
Oh.
From Obata, meaning forced labor or drudgery.
So he's literally trying to turn her into a slave.
Yeah,
okay.
From that definition, you totally can turn your girlfriend into
a
robot. A
person who acts and responds in a mechanical, routine manner. Automation.
Wow.
So,
that's just
it's
not
creepy.
Right. I don't know. If you had a girlfriend, would you do that, James?
No, that's weird.
You strike me as someone who might.
I wouldn't see any point in having a girlfriend at that
right.
point.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I enjoy is, you know, interaction that's not all been predetermined, basically.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you might as well be dating a zombie then, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, but, you know, it doesn't have the downsides of dating a zombie. Primarily them trying to eat you and turn
that's
you into a zombie.
You know what? I bet that there are zombie fetishes out there, too. Because, like, there's so much stuff out there with zombies, so many zombie
right.
video games and Walking Dead and that World War Z coming out. I'm sure there's some person who's like, yeah, I'd just love to fuck a zombie, though, man. You know, just...
Yeah. There is a fetish for everything.
Oh, boy. That's just awful. Zombies. Wasn't there that... what are you laughing about?
Just the way you said that.
Oh, boy. Wasn't there that one article you found about the World of Warcraft zombies? It was like a plague on there?
Yeah, there was the Great Zombie Outbreak of 2008,
wow.
which was actually intentional. It was an advertisement for the new expansion that was coming out.
Wow.
But before that, there was the Corrupted Blood incident,
oh.
where there's this dungeon called Zul'Garub.
I like that one.
It's a good one. It's one of the few dungeons where you can use your mount.
Yeah. No idea what you're talking about, but continue.
We got this debuff called Corrupted Blood, which did damage over time. It was supposed to just stay in the dungeon and last a few seconds.
Yeah.
But it stayed on people outside of the dungeon, and it was transferable to other characters, so they would go to town, and then everybody around them would have it. It would instantly kill low-level players.
Right, wasn't it actually like a glitch?
Yeah, it was a glitch that brought it out of the dungeon.
But, yeah.
And then...
Like, they're talking, like... What was the final count on players that contracted it?
God, I don't know. It was
up there, though.
It was a lot of them, and it went on for so long, too. It was studied by actual scientists, epidemiologists, for its mode of transmission, and also by terrorists.
Studied by terrorists?
Probably. Anti-terrorism. Probably both.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I know that one of the things they wanted to study was to see how people were reacting and what they were doing and how they were coping, because they, especially in WoW, you start thinking, oh, this is just my video game character. It's like, oh my god, my character's, and so they start reacting how they most likely would in an actual situation, too.
Yeah. And there are a lot of assholes trying to keep it around for as long as they could, so I assume that's how a lot of people would act, too. People actually found out that if they put the disease on their pets and then put their pets in storage, then it would stay on their pets indefinitely. After the game developers cleared out everybody else, then they would bring their pets out and suddenly everybody in a town would have it again.
So that's like how Russia and America, they have like smallpox in storage that they could break out at any time.
Right.
So I'm guessing that the game developers ended up just getting rid of that debuff then. Because I don't remember ever getting that debuff.
Yeah.
No, This is a while ago. This was back in vanilla.
Yeah, I started playing right after the first expansion came out. So,
all right, now this is devolving into James and Andrew talk about World of Warcraft.
It's been a long time.
Well, Dan, you continues to play with.
We've got the cravings, okay?
I guess so.
I tried to play it
yesterday.
I logged on, did a dungeon jot, immediately died, and
said fuck it.
Said fuck it. Went back to Rift.
Well done.
Nice.
I'll give you a high five, but...
Go for it.
Okay.
Yay!
That was my bad hand that I cut off.
Bad hand that you cut? How'd you cut up your hand?
I was...
You're just playing
I was moving a
peg?
Stove. Yes, yeah, well that too, but I actually won that and then I moved an old stove and cut my hand on that. Terrible luck. I mean, who'd have thought,
Yeah, I know. I want to get back to this World of Warcraft plague, though. I just think that's...
I want to know about the zombie one. I don't know.
I think that one's kind of inconsequential, because most World of Warcraft players are already zombies. Just playing that all the time. And I think that plague is a good thing, because that's the only transmissible disease that they'll ever get.
But you could just go re-roll a character.
I don't care. But then I also want
to... No, then lower-level characters instantly die.
Yeah.
What you do is... No, you stay out of populated areas is what people did.
Yeah.
That's one of the things they studied, because people moved out of the main cities and into the rural areas to be away from the disease.
I still just love the idea of terrorists, like, studying it. Like, back in the day, Osama bin Laden's, like, on there, like, this is our act of terrorism. He's putting his pet in storage. That's the asshole doing it. Just some low-level terrorism act that he does.
Spending, $15 to an American company every month.
And the
just to really piss off their nerds.
Yeah.
A jihad on the nerds.
So people who are even less of a threat to us than normal people.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Well, that is a good idea.
That's like picking on asthmatics.
The
new fucking inhalers, by the way, are awful with the CFC, the environmentally friendly inhalers.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't work. And I thought about them, like, yeah, that's way to pick on the asthmatics there. You know we're not going to march anywhere.
You're not going to march for long anyway. Just after, like, 100 yards, you're just like...
Yeah, we're not fighting back. People can still drive their SUVs because, those people are, like, muscular and strong. And be pissed off.
How many people driving SUVs have you actually seen?
Are you asking how many SUVs has he seen?
Let me count from memory.
Well, I think that's not. I don't normally see strong, muscular people driving.
That's the stereotype, though.
I think you're talking more like Hummers, and
right?
Yeah,
stuff like that,
okay,
or like
big
old trucks, with the big lifts. People are like, yeah, that guy's probably got a little dick,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you're looking into buying one, then.
Oh, James, always reaching for the low-hanging fruit.
Oh, yeah, well.
You wouldn't fare well in an apple fight, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
You pick
I'll
him up on the ground,
that.
Boom, rotten apple in the face.
Sound fun to me.
It's very fun.
The CDC actually contacted Blizzard Entertainment and requested the statistics for that epidemic.
Hmm. Wow, that's... I just love that. What asshole the CDC got charged to do that? Like, calling up some nerd, be like, hey, I need to talk to you about WoW. And then he just talks about his character all day. It's like, well, I'm a level 43 paladin right now, and I just got the Sword of Ger'zul. It's a plus 23 to my defense, and that's my typical nerd voice, too, that I do when I impersonate nerds.
It sounds a lot like your regular one.
No, it doesn't. I'm a big, muscular guy. I drive an SUV.
Gonna make fun of nerds on a podcast about science?
Hey, the listeners know what they're getting into, all right? We have a love-hate relationship with them. At least two of them. And I'm looking at them right now.
That hurts.
Yeah.
I'm
glad.
That you're looking at me. Stop.
I know, it's my icy steel gaze. I'm glad we're actually getting some good... some views and downloads of this. I think the last one had over 20. And then the one before that had over 50.
That's pretty cool. I wonder if that's because I finally got around to putting it on iTunes.
That could be, but this is all on Podomatic.
I think when you listen to it on iTunes, you're listening to it through Podomatic.
Oh, yeah? Well, I guess that counts then. That's cool.
But I would have done that a lot sooner if I knew it. All it took was copying the RSS feed, pasting it. We're on iTunes now.
Nice.
I say.
Don't do... You're just British. You're so British this episode.
Yeah, well, you know, I've gotta make it up sometimes.
Get you a cheeseburger and a milkshake.
Oh, I want a milkshake.
I know. I knew I'd bring that up just to
you know what?
You
just the other day, I was doing the dishes and I came out of the kitchen and I turned to my roommates and I said, I really want a milkshake, and I'm very disturbed because Andy's not even here to make me want one. What's
just
happening to me?
Just telekinetically.
Yeah,
you know?
And then
my
powers are increasing.
Got some sort of implant that you can use to control James, but the only thing you can send him is milkshake.
Wow, what a useless implant.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
sounds a lot lamer than that little piece of metal in your finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah. God, I really want to get those. The rare earth magnets.
You should
probably
let the listeners know what you're
okay,
talking about.
So, it got pretty popular about 6 months ago. There was news these... They were just kind of people hanging out in a basement.
Like us?
Well,
more scalpels, though.
Yeah, more scalpels.
Those are rusty X-Acto knives. They don't count.
They went to a body modification place, and they implanted rare earth magnets into the tips of their finger. And then, of course, you know, it hurt, ow, blah, blah, blah. The first obvious side effect is, you know, small metal objects like needles you can pick up with your finger. But apparently what happens is the nerve cluster in your fingertip dies and then regrows around the magnet. And you get, like, this sixth sense where you can just feel electromagnetic fields.
Wow.
So you could tell when your computer is about to stall because you'd be able to feel when the hard drive was spinning too fast.
Hmm.
Stuff like that, they say.
Which I think is really cool, because I, for one, am tired of not being a cyborg.
Yeah, right? No, and yeah, it's just this really weird, like, you can feel where power lines are, and apparently the only way really to describe it, some try to, like, describe the physical sensation, but most of the time people just go, it's like having a sixth sense.
You
can't really describe
it. So you can tell when your computer's about to stall, and you can find power lines?
Yeah, or, like, if a cable is, like, an electric cable is live, so you know whether or not to mess with it, you know, and whether to make it safe first, and... It doesn't seem immensely practical.
No, just for, like, you know, shoddy electricians, you know, I'm like, is this... I don't know, I'll just use my fingers to tell.
But I guess, I don't know, like, the possibilities... You know,
like,
I mean, like, this was all just like, this wasn't, you know, funded research. This was just some guys who were, like, really into biohacking and were like, hey, we're gonna take these rare earth magnets, coat them in a protective substance. I think they used some form of plastic, mm-hmm. just so that, you know, you didn't get toxicity.
Yeah, problems. I was going to say, this could be a completely different story. Just be like, a couple assholes in their basement died after, you know, metal poisoning.
Yeah, it could be us, because we'd probably make that mistake.
If only it was you.
That didn't hurt, really. I didn't really hurt my feelings.
That's
Try
fine.
Harder next time. But they just did this, and it's becoming this thing. Like, a lot more people are wanting to get it done, and I definitely want to try it out.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wasn't there that other article you had, too, about the another implant, the E-ink?
Oh, there is a... You can buy it on ThinkGeek.
Yeah?
But it's just this... it's this subdermal implant that you can, obviously, they'll send you a list of surgeons who do it. You get it implanted under your skin,
mm-hmm.
and it's got e-ink in there, so it comes with a scanner, just, you know, like a barcode-looking scanner.
Yeah.
And you plug it into your computer, you select the design that you want, and you scan where your implant is, and you have a tattoo, essentially, that you can just change. So you can do your grocery shopping list, or, you know...
Just any
I heart mom if you want to be a sailor one day or whatever.
And then if when your mom's mean to you, can you go, I'm sort of indifferent to my mom right now. Like that. That would be really cool.
That would be cool, and it would have saved me from several of my shitty tattoos. I wouldn't have to scrub off this power symbol with salt. Like I'm planning on doing.
So I really don't think that's going to work. I think you're just going to end up with a raw arm that's very painful because you were literally rubbing salt in the wound.
No, it does work. I've looked it up. I've done some research. I'm not sure how, because at first it's still clearly there, but then it fades quickly in the healing process. I've read like things by dermatologists. I've read people who have done it. And yeah, it leaves a bit of scar tissue.
I would say so. I think rubbing your arm vigorously is going to leave a lot of scar tissue.
It's about $1,980 cheaper than laser surgery.
Yeah, I suppose that's a benefit. But then you don't end up looking like a burn victim if you get the laser removal, though. You look like you were just playing with a candle in a basement one day and your arms just started on fire.
I think I need something to remind me of my mistakes, though, you know?
Well, the tattoo's good enough at that, you know?
I remember reading somewhere that they had actually developed a tattoo ink now that breaks up into tiny little beads when it's hit by a laser.
Oh, yeah?
So that it like, basically halves the amount of laser surgery you have to get done to remove it.
Hmm.
So what would take 4 sessions now takes like 1 to 2.
Nice.
Because it just, the ink just disperses.
Making things too easy for all these dum-dums getting tattoos that they don't want. Now these dum-dums with their
dum-dum tattoos.
I don't have any tattoos. Yeah. I was going to get one once because my brother has a cross on, Celtic cross on his back, so I was going to get one too, but then, yeah. It's kind of like that, but it's different. I was going to do that, but then I realized I don't have $100, and I haven't in a long time, so...
You see, I never had the money that I actually should have spent for all the tattoos I have.
Yeah. I think that's typically the way it is with people who get tattoos. You never see, like, some CEO walking around with a big tattoo of a dollar sign on his wrist, which would be pretty badass, though. Just Bill Gates rocking a Mike Tyson face tat.
My dad has he's a doctor, and he has a Grateful Dead tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
That's probably also not something you see often.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't want to see my doctor, like, scrubbing up for surgery, like, washing his arm, and it just has the dancing bear with, like...
He's a psychiatrist, too, and he specializes in drug addiction and recovery.
Oh, wow. So that's, like, relating to his patients, then?
I guess so.
Nice. Well, that's good for him.
I guess. I was at a friend's house once, and they were watching one of those various tattoo shows, one of the older ones where it's just you watch a tattoo parlor in business.
And now it's not like they have to get all the drama, like, oh, we gotta get this tattoo done by 2 p.m. All our instruments are on fire.
And there's rabid gerbils everywhere.
That'd be a show I'd watch. Rabid Gerbil Inc. Kind of want to get a tattoo that's just a rabid bird on my chest now.
What are we doing? Doing a podcast instead of coming up with show ideas, for,
right?
You know, MTV or TLC or whoever the fuck does those.
All we would need is a dartboard and some note cards. You know, just like, all right, pregnant monkey hoarders.
I'd watch that.
I know, that's the problem. I'd watch it too.
No, but on that show, there was like actually like this really rich businessman, and he came in his super nice suit, you know, and then he took his suit off, and his whole body, up to the cuff lines of his clothes, was covered in one giant tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was like had a whole full body piece that he was getting worked on, and he had like the inside of his thigh needed finishing.
Wow.
Yeah, so, and like you looked at him, if you saw him down the street, you're like, yeah, no way that guy's got any tattoos. And yet he had, like, the most tattoos of anyone ever.
That's really popular in Japan. You'll see tattoos, like, full up the sleeves and then nothing right here in the middle of your chest.
Hmm.
So even you can even walk around with an open shirt. Nobody would know.
Hmm. What's the point of having a tattoo, then, if you're never going to show it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess sometimes there might be a point.
Like when?
When you want to see it yourself.
I don't know, James. That was too heartfelt for you.
I know, right?
Yeah, you no pretend you have a soul.
Yeah, okay. So what kind of tattoo do you want to like be like, yeah, I just want to have a naked chick with wings on my chest that I can look at every day. You know, I can save me money on porn. Just literally jerking off to myself.
And they did this in like 1980 and now porn's free, so like, damn it, that was a waste.
I think if you're... Yeah, that'd be pretty shitty. I don't know. So what else is there to talk about then?
So what about the this Reddit-funded...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not necessarily Reddit-funded, but there was a 23-year-old neuroscience student was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. So what she did is she went to the internet to ask help to... become cryogenically frozen until a cure was found for her cancer. So with the help of some entrepreneurial futurists and Redditors, she was successfully cryogenically preserved. So now she is in the... Where is she right now? Well, she's somewhere. And just cryogenically frozen. And I'm not sure if it's the same... type of like cryogenic freezing that they did with Walt Disney, where you know you chop their head off and that's in like a big vat of liquid nitrogen, which I think that's the urban legend, but that's how
they
used to do cryogenic freezing, is where they cut off your head and they store your body in liquid nitrogen and store your head in liquid nitrogen too.
You know, I was looking up other instances of internet philanthropy. Why did they cryogenically freeze her? Is that some sort of cure? Or?
No, it's just
until
there is a
cure
found. So then they can unfreeze her, bring her back to life.
What if there's a cure found? Because as far as I'm aware, they figured out how to freeze people, but not how to defrost them yet.
Yeah.
Very little hope of a cure for freezing to death.
Yeah.
What if they get the cure for, like... you know, the terminal brain cancer tomorrow.
Yeah.
But then she ends up not coming back for another couple thousand years, because for some reason we can cure brain cancer but not bring people back from being frozen for 2,000 more years.
But I mean, if you've ever put hamburger in the freezer and forgot it there for a few months, that shit does not hold up well.
That's very true, yeah. But then it's also kind of weird because she only had like a couple weeks left to live. So what if they do find the cure for cancer, and then they're like, but it takes a couple months.
Right.
But it's funny, in this article they talk about an episode of SeaQuest, where a crew member meets a woman at a bar, becomes obsessed with her, then finds out it's his mother who was cryogenically frozen for 22 years. So he ended up banging his mom because she got unfrozen.
Did they just put that in the article because
it's
something else about...
It's a very scientific article. This website, like I told you guys earlier, one of the other articles that they have here is entitled Man of Steel Porn Parody, which is exactly what you like to see on your science websites.
Yeah.
And I also think that Man of Steel doesn't need its title change for a porn parody. You know? Like,
that's what
also
I thought
like,
it was. I thought they were finally just showing porn in major movie theaters.
Might as well. I don't know. I heard that whole thing's just a big jack-off.
I haven't even heard anything about it until now. So thank you for warning me. I guess I won't go see it.
I guess we won't get sponsored by Man of Steel then.
Oh, man.
That's one of those superhero movies that has the built-in porn, like The Dark Knight Rises. That's
right.
That's a porn parody right there. What else?
Hey, speaking of not getting sponsorships, have you eaten Arby's in the game lately?
I haven't eaten Arby's, no.
That's probably a good decision.
Yeah, I'm trying to... I'm happier about my life now, so I don't feel the need to punish myself as much. But also speaking of sponsorship, we got another shout-out on the Probably Science podcast, rivals. We did. Yeah, because I sent them an email about how eerie our situations are, and then they accuse us of plagiarism. So
and
I think that this
Brooks
rival...
Whelan said you were a really nice guy, and 20 seconds later said he would have beat you up if
you'd
known.
Oh, yeah, he said, yeah, next time in Iowa City, I'll beat him up, so... This is an open invitation, Brooks.
That's
all right.
Okay,
Brooks. Next time you're here, we're gonna settle this like men on the Pentacrest. We're gonna have an apple fight, just like,
oh dear,
just like two real Iowans. So there we go. I put
so
it out
this
there.
Way we did in my neighborhood.
Oh, I'm gonna lose. If that happens, I'm gonna lose that fight
yeah.
for sure.
You just assuming he's better at throwing apples at people.
I'm just assuming that I'm not very good at fighting.
Because
if I'm like there, like throwing apples, and then he just like, fuck this, I'm gonna go punch him in the face. I can't really stop that. I don't know. I can dodge an apple, but I can't dodge a punch.
That's a good distraction. Yeah, throw an apple at someone and then punch them, because they're just gonna be like, ooh, apple.
Didn't you used to wrestle though?
I did. Yeah, I wasn't very good though.
Whether I actually had heard that or just assumed because you were from small town Iowa,
yeah.
Then obviously you wrestled.
No, I did wrestle. I wrestled my entire high school career except for my senior year. I had to stop wrestling because I accidentally dropped a 25-pound weight on my big toe.
Well,
and it exploded. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just like, hey, you know what I'm going to do today? Drop a big, big concrete.
This will get me
plate.
Out of the draft.
The draft. Because, as you know, if you wrestle, you're automatically entered into the draft.
Yep.
No, I might drop some shit on my toes to get out of wrestling. That does not sound like a pleasant experience. I've never done it, but...
No, it's... Yeah, it was so bad. My toe is still all messed up. That can be the picture for the podcast, is my messed up big toe. It's pretty gross. But
I say we just keep titty kitty.
Well, just for this episode, though.
Oh,
know?
Okay.
Like
okay.
How we had the styrofoam
right.
cooler for the last one.
It wasn't the styrofoam cooler.
It was
the
styrofoam.
Sean McGee. Not the way he looks.
I'm telling you, he's a little lightheaded. James is looking at me in disgust.
So is Al.
Yeah, he just doesn't leave. Hey, guys. Thanks, Al.
He's got cobwebs on him.
Yeah, but to be fair, he always had cobwebs on him.
Okay, yeah. Alright.
You know, I talked to Al, and I told him how we kept mentioning him in the podcast. I was like, yeah, we still say thanks, Al, at the end. He's like, oh, I like that. I neglected to mention that he's now your basement troll.
Yeah. I don't know. I should probably get some rent from him.
Yeah, I
mean, but whenever I do, he always asks me these questions
right
three. I know.
Has he moved at all?
I don't know. That actually, you know what? That might be a statue of
Al. Do you feed him?
I've never fed him. No, I. You know, after further inspection, that is just a statue of Al Richards.
Oh,
Richard.
So that's the real Al.
Yeah.
I thought that was a statue.
No. And he's actually incredibly well groomed. I think he's been
seeking
doing some
out.
Squat thrusts, and he's been using the weight set we have back there.
He's got nothing to do with grooming. That
well,
means brushing
he's
your
ripped.
Hair,
he's
trimming your beard.
Well, he doesn't have any hair. I don't know. Once he moved in the basement, he just went pure troll. He's like Gollum right now. Except he's like a jacked Gollum. Is what he's like. That is scary. Oh boy. Speaking of Gollum, do you have anything else you want to say, James? Any more articles?
Yeah. Not concerning Gollum, even.
Not concerning Gollum.
Yeah.
Well, there's that one I want you to, the vineyard drones.
Ah, yes, they're using unmanned helicopters, a.k.a. drones, in vineyards in Napa Valley to, you know, spray pesticides, herbicides, whatnot.
I'll be more worried when they actually start using drones to harvest the grapes. Because then their technology is way more advanced than even the US military's. Yeah. That's probably not a good thing. They'll probably take over right afterwards.
You know, what's going to happen is they're going to say that they have, like, drone robots to pick the grapes, but it's really just some weird, like, wives of those robot fetishists that go out there and the obedience is pleasure is obedience, picking the grapes. And then they get some sort of weird rush out of watching them stomp on the grapes then, you know? That's just... The guy has just a twofold problem. He wants to turn his wife into a robot, and he wants to watch a robot smash grapes.
Do you think he asked her first, "Can I try and turn you into a robot?"
I think that's something that'd be hard to bring up with your wife. You know?
Yeah, he probably beat her down emotionally for years before that.
Yeah. That'd just be weird. He's good, like, honey, you know, we've been married a long time, and can you just lose your soul? It's going to happen eventually. You might as well do it willingly, you know? Oh, man. Not all marriages are unhappy, though. Shout out to Andrew and Molly Frana. Yes. What are you laughing about so much?
Your face.
What it's, about it?
Well, there's this thing on it right there. Sorry, that was your eye.
It's called a nose, actually. I know my...
I'm not very good at anatomy.
I guess that's just going.
Didn't you have another article there?
Yeah, actually, it was just the...
I was actually talking about the porn parody.
Oh, no. We can watch that later.
Okay.
But this article, it's just the title of it, like, spoke to me. It's called Canadian Scientists Use Math to Kill Cancer, which...
I don't know how I feel about Canadians learning math.
Yeah,
I know.
They're starting to think they're people.
Exactly. But so what?
And I also think that's a lie because it said kill cancer, and that's not very polite. You think they just ask it nicely to go away?
They just put it into remission. there's no cases of cured cancer in Canada.
We're awfully sorry about this, cancerous cells. But would you mind just kind of backing off a little bit? No, okay.
That's a great alliteration, though. There's no cases of cured cancer in Canada. Say that's a tongue twister right there. But. So what it says is that they found a virus that they use to... what does this say? Deals with the use of oncolytic viruses that involves the engineering of intentionally infecting and killing tumors in the human body while avoiding harm to healthy tissue. So they're basically reprogramming viruses to seek out and destroy cancer.
That sounds a lot more promising than the urine.
Yeah, and also... I don't. That really isn't using math to cure cancer. You know,
I'm sure there was some math involved somewhere in the process.
And when I first read that, I just imagined like beating someone with a calculus book, just like this guy just hitting him with some sort of biostatistics book on his melanoma. Somehow that does it. The cancer just like, this is too hard. I can't do this. I don't understand integrals. But so, yeah, it's really cool because there's actually a lot of viruses that cause cancer because they go in there and they insert their DNA and it disrupts healthy DNA and it causes them to mutate and become cancerous. So.
Dicks.
Yeah, I know, right? Who would imagine that a virus would be...
I think it's time we had some peace talks with these viruses.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Get them and Palestine and Israel all together and just be like, guys, I know we all have our problems. You guys want to all control the West Bank. You know, we all know that's virus's main goal. Viruses are very anti-Semitic. So I think let's do a new segment here. We're going to try to replace the old one where I just read a sentence from the Da Vinci Code at random. And we're going to try to make more science-related where I just pick a page from Scientific American at random and read what's on that. So,
are you saying the Da Vinci Code is not scientific?
Not scientific enough. Uh-huh. Okay, I know all about Robert Langdon, but so you guys have a page number you'd like? Let's go from 1 to 100. What page?
My goodness, so many options, so many choices. I'm gonna go with 72.
72.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to 72. 72. It's actually the beginning of an article called How Skulls Speak. New 3D software is helping scientists identify the sex and ancestral origins of human remains with greater speed and precision. It's by Anna Kuchmant. And the first line is, like the detectives on the CBS drama Cold Case, anthropologist Anne Ross of North Carolina State University spends many of her days thinking about unsolved crimes, which I think is kind of insulting to a scientist to compare her work to some shitty CBS drama. You know, someone's like, yeah, the esteemed professor from North Carolina, her work is a lot like Two and a Half Men. She works with a child, and her partner is a cocaine addict. Okay, we're not going to get sponsored by CBS now. All our hopes of turning this podcast into a TV show are out the window. But it's actually kind of interesting, though, because they have this diagram here of male and female skulls, and they have little tidbits about each part of the skull. So it says here, foreheads. Women's foreheads are more vertical than men's, which gives them a childlike appearance, Ross says. Men tend to have sloping foreheads. I don't know, what is that? What does that amount to, then, that women look more childlike? Is that just makes us all seem like pedophiles, then?
Yeah.
And only James is. Yep, there we go. I got it to hurt you. So.
Yeah.
And then the men have sloped. That's just kind of saying that we're Neanderthals. Neanderthals.
Right.
That's...
Well, isn't there something about we are actually likely to be, like, most people actually are likely to have a much higher amount of Neanderthal DNA?
Yeah, we talked about that the last one about how
I mean, it's pretty obvious in you, but...
Yeah. I don't know why you're talking. You look more Neanderthal than me.
You're just jealous of this amazing beard.
Well, you're more European than me, so that makes you more Neanderthal. Because you're, as we talked about in the last episode with Ozzy Osbourne...
Yes, you're just jealous of the beard.
I'm not jealous of the beard. I can grow one.
No.
I just choose not to.
Yeah.
I just like to... I just consciously control these couple little patches to not grow. So I
that's
like,
very advanced. You should teach other people that technique.
I know. I taught David Spade how to do that in Joe Dirt.
Oh.
Remember that movie?
Okay.
It's,
that was you. That was all you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I taught him how to grow a mullet. He used to have a great mullet.
There's no such thing.
A great mullet?
Yeah. That's...
I disagree.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Looks like you're trying to go for one right now.
I just got a haircut, James. I don't know what
that's what
about.
I'm saying. I'm saying it looks like shit.
I just cut the front. Yeah. So let's get back to this article then. So talks about the brow. So an area called the supraorbital margin, which is just above the eye and roughly follows the brow line, is thin and pointy in women. If you place your thumb below the outer edge of a woman's eyebrow, you'll feel that it's sharp. I think if you also place your thumb below the outer edge of a woman's eyebrow, she will slap you.
Let's say, isn't that some sort of like harassment charge?
Yeah, you just
you
go,
might
want to
get
I want to see how much of a woman you are. Let me thumb you a little bit. That's going to really turn her off.
I mean, haven't we been able to tell male from female skulls for a while? Like, what is new in this article?
I think it's just sort of just pointing out what's different. But it's, I mean, when you look at the male and female skull, they actually do look very different, especially around the eyes. You know, you can see it does jut out more, like the eyebrows. You can see right there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to point this out to the readers here.
Yeah.
right there, you can see that is a skull. And that there is also a skull.
Are you sure?
That might be a Halloween prop. I cannot be sure.
Okay. Yeah, no, you really can. You can tell the difference. That's nice.
Yeah, this doesn't have a lot of practical use for us, you know, unless we decide to make our lives more like a CBS sitcom, which I'm always hoping to do.
I really want you to try that as a pickup line, actually.
Hey,
excuse
can I
me,
thumb your brow?
Let me just feel your eyebrow area. I need to check that you actually think.
Yeah.
I've had problems in the past. It won't take more than a second.
This is the first area of your body I'm going to touch. We go from the eyebrow to the throat to the chest to the groin.
To the back of the skull there.
I was going to say page 42, and if we had picked that, we would have gotten an ad for the Chevy Volt.
Yeah, you're terrible at this.
Yeah. I was going to say 37, so let's see what was on 37. I don't know. 37's always my go-to random number. Ooh, the dark side of the Milky Way. Oh, man. The disk of the Milky Way has developed a warp, which astronomers think is not a state of distortion, but a slow-motion wave, like the vibration of a gong or a drumhead. The author argues that the vibration is set in motion by disturbances in the galaxy's dark matter, which in turn are triggered by two small satellite galaxies.
It's a very long sentence.
It's a very long sentence. I think that the editor of Scientific American doesn't know what he's doing. Damn it. We're not going to get one published. Oh, man.
That would have actually been quite a nice sponsorship, too.
We should change our name to Burning Bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that whole theory about the galaxy being distorted, that just lends credence to my whole theory that the Milky Way is just God's drum set. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to become that televangelist.
Just to make sure that neither of us marry
my eyes.
Yeah. Oh well.
Yeah. I'm gonna set your hair on fire after this.
Set my hair on fire?
Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do.
That's a pretty
you
bad
deserve it.
Do I? For what?
Yeah. Well, just for being you.
Just for being James, you don't even have a good reason. So I'm not gonna allow you to set my hair on fire.
Oh, if I come up with a good reason, you'll let me?
Yeah. I'm a very reasonable
man. That's what
I'm
working on.
Yeah.
Reasons to set his hair on fire.
I like how you pretended to type. Like, you're going to Google. You're going to Google. That'd be a weird art when you find, like, top 10 reasons to set Daniel Frana's hair on fire.
Man, Craig just really lit their editorial process. Go.
Yeah. Oh, God. You finding anything, then, or... This is riveting right now. We can hear
okay.
You typing.
Different Daniels. Never mind.
So this other.
Let's try Daniel Francis.
Daniel Francis.
That was the autocorrect. So.
So what have you found? What links have you found?
Great White Wikipedia.
What Great White? What is that?
Great White live on 11th July 2008 at the Moon Dance Jam.
Oh,
Michael
I remember
Michael Jackson's
that.
Wikipedia.
Oh yeah, he got his hair set on fire.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to be famous, you should let me set your hair on fire. If you want a Wikipedia
better reason.
Page,
it's a better reason.
I will set your hair on fire and then make a Wikipedia page of all the people who have had their hair set on fire.
But I can make my own Wikipedia page. I can set my own hair on fire and make my own Wikipedia page, so.
Yeah, but you're probably not gonna.
Yeah. I could. I'm not
it's not legit that way.
I'm saying I'd rather. So you'll have to come up with a new reason.
Okay.
So maybe for next episode James will have found a good reason to set my hair.
I'm not even gonna find anything to talk about. I'm just gonna come up with
that is your assignment for next podcast. You have to find out top 10 reasons. So it's gonna be like a Letterman, top 10 reasons to set Daniel Frana's hair on fire.
You
are you alright?
Right?
I'm writing that down.
You
we
can
write.
I'm just a stunner. You can write.
Oh, that's so great, James. Once
I've
again
never seen your
clever fight. And original.
Yeah, once again, just harvesting that low-hanging fruit.
Yeah,
like it's
I've
your
got,
job.
Someone has to. Someone has to.
Throwing it at you like an apple.
I think that's a good stop.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, sounds good. Let's do a three-way high five since we don't have a guest.
Yay!
Thanks, Al.